We're on Daf Ches Omen Aleph, and we're about to start the Mishnah here of Ein Bein Zav, which is the third Mishnah on the page. We're about to actually finish it,
right, yeah.
I meant to say, but we didn't exactly finish it. So let's just remind ourselves on the bottom of Daf Ches Omen Aleph that there were two drushas, if you remember. There was one drasha of Rav Simai, and he used the pasuk that differentiated between two re'ios and three re'ios, and he said that the difference is that one is chayv a karbon and the other is not chayv a karbon. That was one drasha. And then on the bottom of the page, the Gemara quotes a different drasha from a brisa, from a different pasuk in the same parasha, ki yitar hazov mizovo v'sofar. And there it mentions Sphira Zayin Nikim. And the Bryce actually derives three things from this pasuk. Number one, that there's no need for two tefillos. He doesn't need one tefillah before he starts the Zayin Nikim, and then another one after he finishes the Zayin Nikim. He goes straight from the moment that his ziva is interrupted into Zayin Nikim, and then he goes to the mikveh after the Zayin Nikim. Right. The second halacha was that what happens if he's a double tumah? He's at the same time a zav and a mitzorah. So we would say maybe first he has to finish up with his tzaras, and only after he becomes pure from his tzaras, then he can become he can mitar himself from ziva. And that the pasuk mizovo says no, you don't have to. He doesn't have to be mitar himself from all of his ziva, only from all of his tumah, only from ziva, not from tzaras. And then the third drasha was to teach us that already after the second re'iyah, the zav has to count zayin nikiyah. Then here on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara goes back and forth to try to justify the two drushas, why we need both Rav Simoi's drasha and the drasha of the Braisa. And then the last piece of the Gemara before the new Mishnah was the dialogue between Rav Papa and Abai back and forth. And that's where we were a little bit pressured for time, so we'll go over it one more time just to say that we did it more or less properly. Okay. So it's actually the first of the wide lines on Daf Ches Amud Beis, Omale Rav Papa Abai. Now just to reiterate something that we said yesterday and gives us the background of Rav Papa's problem and why he raised this problem is because the two drushos seem to go in opposite directions, meaning the question is what you do with the word, the letter mi in the word mizovo. Is it a miut or is it a ribui? And here we have a little bit of a contradiction here, because on the one hand, we use the word mizovo in the parasha of a chippur olav hakohen, meaning in the parasha of karbon, to say that not every zav has to bring a karbon. Right. And based on the limud of Rav Simoi, we differentiate between two re'iyos and three re'iyos, meaning that he only has to bring a karbon if he had the third re'iyah. Mm-hmm. So that's the mem of mizovo as a miut. Now in this braiso, which was the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, there we use the word mizovo to tell me that let's leave that out for a second. But mizovo is to teach me a ribui that he needs sphira zayin nikiyah.
Right.
That was the third.
Somebody says so twice. Still need. Right. Is that
right? That once he sees the second ri'iyah of ziva, he needs already zayin nikiyah. So then you're using the mem as a ribui to include a zav Baal Shtei Re'ios in the parasha of Sphira Zayin Nikiyah. So Amalei Rav Papa Labaye Maishna Hai Mizovo. When we started with the pasuk of V'chi Yitar Hazov Mizovo V'Sofer Demar Bibay, we used it as a rivui to tell us that even a Zav Baal Shtei Re'ios needs Sphira Zayin Nikiyah. Maishna Hai Mizovo, but in the parasha of Karbon, where it says V'chi Parol of HaKohen Lifnei Hashem Mizovo, and we use the word mem d'memayit be zav baal shterios, that a baal shterios doesn't have to bring a karbon. So we seem to use the same word or the same letter in the word in two opposite directions. In one direction, we're telling us that he has to count zayin nikiyah, that the zav baal shterios is really a full-fledged zav. On the other hand, we're using the mi zova as a miut to exclude him from a karban, that he's not a full-fledged zav. So we seem to be going in opposite directions. So basically, from Omar Le, which means Abai's retort to Rav Papa, until the Mishnah, we're basically getting into what I call Hilchus Drashos. And one of the rules that govern drashos is that what would have been our assumption without that drasha. That's the analysis. If our assumption would have been to exclude, then the extra letter is coming to include. If our assumption would have been to exclude, then it's to include, then it comes to exclude. That's the mechanics of how Abai is going to work this out. So Ogolei. So Abai says the following. Now, let me just give the following premise here. I'm going to offer the following premise, that as a general rule, a mem is a mute. The exception to the rule is going to be a case where it cannot be a mute. You know, sort of like you're innocent until proven guilty, or the other way around, guilty to prove it innocent, meaning the mem means only this case, right? Of the group, the larger group, it's only this part of the group, and right, that's going to be a mute. That's going to help us understand that when it says v'chipra al v'akoyin lefnei Hashem mizovo, meaning the requirement of a karbon, it's only mizovo. It's only one category of a zav, namely bal sholosh rios, as opposed to the other category of a zav, bal shtei rios. In the case of sfira asayin nekiyev v'chiyutar zov mizovo, there Rabbi is going to try to logically prove that it cannot be a mute. Why can't it be a mute? Because the very assumption that you're deriving as a mute would have been our assumption, even notwithstanding, even had there not been a mem. So let's go through it. If you're going to tell me that the word mizovo in the parasha of Zaynikim is limute hudiyasa, and it's coming to tell you that a Baal Shtei Riyos does not require Sfiras Ayinikiyim Lishto Kromine. The thrust of Abai's logic is that even without the extra mem as a mute, we would have assumed that a Zav Baal Shtei Riyos does not need Zayinikiyim. And that's going to be based on a comparison to a Zava, which we'll get to in just a minute. So we're just finishing up what we didn't finish up yesterday. So again, so here's the deal. According to Abai's logic, the Torah didn't have to add the extra word mizovo. We would have assumed, if we had our logical premises straight, that a Baal Shtei Riyos does not need Sfir Zayin Nikiyim. Right? Why? Because we have no ribui for Zayin Nikiyim. You follow? So in other words, why upset the apple cart by adding mizovo if in the absence of the word mizovo we would have anyway have assumed, right, this is on the premise that mizovo would be a mute, we would have anyway excluded a zav bal shtei rios from the requirement of zayin nekiyim. V'chi teima, but maybe you'll counter argue, you'll say, no, I have a logical compelling reason why a Zav Baal Shtei Riyos should require a Sfira Zayin Nekiyim, because he's a full-fledged Zav. Now, how do I know that a Zav Baal Shtei Riyos is a full-fledged Zav? You remember our barometer for that? That was Mishkav Moshe, right? So we're saying the following, V'chi teima, asya midina, let's derive the requirement of Sfira Zayin Nekiyim from Sholosh Riyos down to Shtei Riyos. And let's derive Shtei Riyos from Sholosh Riyos. That just like in the case of Shtei Riyos, he's Metame Mishka V'Moshav. Meaning that basically as far as Tumah is concerned, he suffers the full brunt of Tumah. And therefore, let's go with one more Chumrah, and we're going to require Zayin Nekiyim. So he says, no. Shomer Siyom Kineged Yom Tochiyach. In the case of a Zova Ketana, that she saw one Riyah, she counts the next day as a Yom Naki. If she sees two Riyos, she counts the third day as a Yom Naki. And in all those cases, she's Metame Mishka V'Moshav, even though she's only a Shomer Siyom Kenegin Yom, she's not a full-fledged Zava. But nevertheless, she has the full brunt of Tuma, even as far as the barometer test is Mishkav Moshav. And despite that fact, she doesn't count Zayin Nikim. She only after she sees the third Re'iyah does she count Zayin Nikim. So therefore we're going to come to the conclusion that Zayin Nikim is not generated and is not dependent upon the full brunt of the Tuma. When I say full brunt of the Tuma, I always measure that in terms of Mishkav Moshav. So we have the following two cases. We have the case of a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos. We have the case of a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. In both those cases, the full brunt of Tuma is Chal, meaning that there is a Tuma of Mishkav Moshe. And yet, what the Torah does tell us explicitly is that in the case of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she doesn't have to count Zayin Nikim. And therefore, by process of analogy, we can derive the same conclusion with regard to a Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyos, that even though he's fully Tomei, that he's mitame b'tumas mishkav u'moshe, nevertheless he doesn't have to count Zayin Nikiyim. So therefore, if the mi zovo is coming to exclude Zayin Nikiyim in the case of shtei re'iyos, then I'm going to ask you the question lishtok. Lishtok means don't add this word to confuse me and set up a mute when anyway logically I would have taken Baal Shtei Re'iyos and alleviated him of the requirement of Sfira Zayin Nikiyim. So therefore, again, getting the thrust of Abai's logic, the only way I can justify the mem of Mizovo is as a ribui instead of as a mute. And if it's a ribui, it's coming to tell you that he does have to count Zayin Nikiyim. Unlike a Zoma who's a Shomer Siyom Kenegid Yom. Oh. V'chi Tema. Now at this point in the Gemara goes back to the Braisa on the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Aleph. And if you recall, the Braisa was darshaning a pasuk and deriving three conclusions from the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Sfir Zayin Nikiyim. It says, V'chi yitar azov mizovo. Let's just go over quickly. Eric heard it already, so for the third time. But for me, I need a chazor. The three derivations from this one pasuk. One is to teach me that he doesn't need tefillah b'mikvah before he starts counting Zayin Nikiyim. He'll only need a tefillah at the end of Zayin Nikiyim. The second is that even if he's also a mitzora at the same time being a zav, he doesn't have to be mitar himself from tzaras in order to be mitar himself from ziva. And the third halacha was that a baal shtei re'iyos of a zav has to require Zayin Nikiyim. So v'chi teimen, if you'll tell me that we're not going to darshan from Mizovo to be Mamarbe a Baal Shtei Re'iyos in Sfira Zayin Nikiyim, because hi mi boy, we need the word Mizovo for one of the other drushes. In this case, Mizovo, Velo Mizovo Umi Migo. The word Migo here, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, refers to Tzaras. So we're going to use the word Mizovo now. You want to use the word Mizovo and the mem of Mizovo as a ribui to include Baal Shtei Re'iyos in Sfira Zayin Nikiyim. On the contrary, the Brice itself is committed to the position that Mizovo is a mute to exclude the requirement of Taras Saras. Means we don't require the Zav in order to allow him to count Zayin Nikiyim and go to mikvah. We're not going to require that he get rid of his tumas tzaras, which is a long, long process, as we'll learn about if it's them right away. So now at this point, we have really rejected the logic of Abaye. The logic of Abaye was lishtok, that the Torah didn't have to add this word mizovo, unless it was coming to be marbe zayin nikiyim in the case of Baal Shtei Re'iyos. Now the Gemara says, no, I need the word mizovo as a mute in order to exclude a person who's still, although he's a zav, he's still in the state of tzaras. He hasn't healed himself, if you will, from his affliction of tzaras. And nevertheless, he can be mitire himself from ziva and reduce his status of tomei from a double status to a single status. He can remove his tumas ziva, even though he maintains his tumas tzaras. So again, how could you, Abai, tell me that by definition I have no choice but to use mizovo as a ribui for Zayin Nikiyim in the case of Baal Shtei Re'iyos? No, I need mizovo as a mute to exclude the process, or the necessity of the process of Tara from Tzaras in the case of a Zav. So now the Gemara is going to pull a fast one. The Gemara is going to tell us that there are two drushas from the same pasuk. Right. Oh. Im kein lichtov krav achiyitar hazov v'lishtok. There's an extra word of the pasuk mizovo. If the Torah wanted to tell me that he doesn't have to be metayer himself from tzaras in order to facilitate his tara from ziva, then the Torah could have left out the word mizovo. It could have just simply said v'chi yitar hazov. And the word hazov would tell me that all he has to do is be metayer himself from ziva. V'chi yitar hazov. Let this zav be metayer himself as a zav, even while he still maintains his status as a mitzora. And now the Torah adds the word mizovo. So again, let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chi yitar hazov mizovo." And the Gemara is arguing, this is Abai's logic, that it could have said, "V'chi yitar hazov v'sofalo," etc. We would not have a ribui for Zayin Nekiyim. We would have excluded Zayin Nekiyim based on a hekesh, based on some sort of analogy to Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom, right? Who doesn't need Sfir Zayin Nekiyim. And we would have no ribui for Zayin Nekiyim in the case of Zav Bal Shtei Reiyos. You'll ask me, so how am I going to derive the conclusion that he doesn't have to be mitar himself from Tzaras? That I could derive from the word Hazov. So I don't need the word Mizovo. You follow? So we're splitting, there's a Tzemed Milim, there's a pair of two words, and we're splitting between the two of them. It says, V'chi yitar hazov mizovo. The word hazov is going to teach me that he doesn't have to be mitar himself from tzaras, and the word mizovo is going to teach me that he's included in v'safra lo shivas yomim, that even though he only saw shteirius, he's a full-fledged zav, not only as far as tumah, and not only as far as mishkavu Moshe, but even as far as Sfiras Zayin Nekiyim. So the amazing thing about this pasuk, the way we're darshaning it, is that there are two words that are contiguous. One word is going to be a mute, and the very next word is going to be a ribui. And the Gemara finds no problem with that.
But in the Braisa, it doesn't use hazav as to learn about to exclude saras. The Braisa seems to say it just goes on below. It says v'hiyitar hazav, and then it says
It says mizovo. So it sounds like the Gemara is dashing for the word mizovo.
So there are,
and that was the hamamid of Asugya. Okay. So I can say below mizovo.
Right. So if it's dashing from mizovo to learn saras,
right.
This seems to be.
So the Gemara is actually, again, I don't know if the Gemara is changing. I'd have to read through all the liturgy. If the Gemara is changing, actually, the gears and the Braisa. Yeah, he quotes in the footnote here, back in the Brice itself, on Chesam and Aleph, a Malbim. And the Malbim says that the drush of the Brice is from the word Hazav.
Ah, okay.
So, in a funny sort of sense, on the one hand, the Brice quoted enough of the Pasuk in order to derive two out of three conclusions. And therefore, the Brice only quoted the word Hazav. But yet, when the Braisa goes through the actual drushos, it adds the next word in the pasuk, which is mizovo. And it's telling you that from the combination of hazov and mizovo, we can derive three conclusions. Let's go over the three conclusions again for the 19th time, but it's again for my benefit, not for yours. Number one, that he doesn't need a tvila before Zayin Nekiyim. Number two, that he doesn't need to get rid of his tzaras. And number three, that he's included in Shtei Re'ios. Now, you have two exclusions and one ribui. Very, very fascinating kind of brice. I've never encountered such a thing. We have a brice that's dashing one pasuk with three derivations, three halachas, two of which are mi'utim and one is a ribui. And what the Gemara is doing here at the end of Ask Sugi on Chesamid Beis, it's telling you that you can't read the Braisa superficially, because then you'll drive yourself nuts. Because how could it be that the same word mizovo is going to be a mir and a ribui at the same time? It does Kenet Zayin. It can't be. So the answer is that we have to go back one word earlier in the pasuk to the word hazov. And that's telling you a mute of tzaras, if you follow what I mean. And then the word mizovo is coming to be marbed, that even though he only saw Shtei Re'ios, he has to count Zayin Nekiyim. And that's the last line here in the Gemara on Daf Chesam and Beis before the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Lamali, so why do I need the X word mizovo once I have hazov to exclude Taras Mitzorah, if you follow what I mean. Lomali, Shalimed Al-Zov, Limed Al-Zov, Baal Shtei Re'ir, Sheton Sfiras Shiva. that the extra word mizovo is coming to be marbe, that he who was excluded from karva, namely the Baal Shteiris, is still included under the requirement of Zayin Nikiyin. I have one footnote here that I wanted to share with you, and that's the Ritva. And then we'll start the murderous Mishnah that I've been afraid of for about a week now. Getting stomach aches from the next Mishnah, but we'll give it a shot. So the Ritva adds the following. He says, Afal gav te begemara mevur shedrosha achas nidreshes mitevas hazov vashmiya mitevas mizovo. Okay, so the Ritva is obviously on board with our premise that there are two drushes here from two different words in the same pasuk. But what bothers the Ritva, that when you read the Brisa doesn't give you that impression. But maybe this, Eric, is actually your question from before. And he says the following, which I saw this Ritva, but I forgot it. He says, Imzos kosva Brisa shesteya drushes nilmodos mitevas mizovo. Basically what the Malbim said 15 centuries later, I'm exaggerating, so the Ritva says the same thing. So basically, when this is an interesting methodology, when a Brisa quotes a Pasuk and derives X number of conclusions from that Pasuk, we don't have to assume that the Brisa's Medayek and is very meticulous about telling you which word in the pasuk it's dash. It means the whole pasuk, and you figure it out. You rack your brains, figure out which word is going to be used for this drasha and which derivation from that pasuk. Now, Rav Mosai, to start the next Mishnah, we need introductions. So again, you're going to have to help me out with the art scroll here, because I'll tell you why I would avoid the art scroll initially. Not at the end of the day, but I mean initially when we start this sugya. If we had a whiteboard here, there's so much new terminology here. And as soon as, what I find is, as soon as you translate into another language, you lose something. So on the one hand, we need the translation because we have to understand what we're talking about. There's so much mitzias here, and when you talk about tzaras. But on the other hand, it's a little bit misleading. If you get too hung up on the English, and you... It's going to be very difficult to learn the sources, you know, if you follow what I'm saying. Anyway, this introduction of the Masifta, which again, you may have something similar in your Gemara, I don't know, is based on two sources. Number one, it's based on the Rambam. The Rambam gives us a little bit of an overview of the laws of what's called Maros Negoyim, right? Negoyim is actually 1/6 of the Torah, 1/6 of the Torah Shmal Peh. So we can't learn all of Negoyim on Regal Achas, but the Rambam does offer in what's called Hilchas Tumas Tzaras a bit of an overview. I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but that's not necessary. We will have to open up a Chumash, that's for sure. But the Rambam is going to give us, and the Masifta is going to sort of, in a sense, condense the Rambam's introduction to Hilchas Tumas Tzaras. Number two, in the Mishnayis itself, there are two super commentaries on the Mishnayis. I don't know, both sides, do you guys ever learn Mishnayis?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. Let's see if I'm right. I'm going to ask you the question, see if I have the right answer. What kind of Mishnayis do you have in front of you?
It depends.
Ah, okay.
But sometimes Kahatli.
I'm using the art scroll.
Well, using the art scroll, most what do you use? What's hard school? Kahati. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Cherry Kahati. I mean, what Kahati has done is it's like there are shelves, full shelves in yeshivas that have become obsolete. They're full of dust. Nobody even reads them anymore because we're so hung up on Kahati. But the truth is that in the old days, when we learned Mishnayis with 72 Pirushim on them, there were two main Pirushim, Mefarshim, that took upon themselves, whenever you start a new Seder of Mishnayis, to give an overview, an introduction. One is called the Teferis Yisrael, and the other is called the Tosefis Yontif, the Tosis Yontif. Tosis Yontif, his name was Heller, he lived about 4 centuries ago. He doesn't usually give an introduction. If he does, it's very short-winded, but in this case, he gave a more detailed introduction. In any event, what I'm about to tell you, and if you, again, I don't have a whiteboard or a blackboard in front of me, but maybe I should write it on a piece of paper and we'll photocopy it. I don't know, because you really have to know a belt of terminology. Okay. Now, basically, okay, let's see what I can do with this, and then maybe we'll be able to photocopy it. Yeah, I have a pen, so you could use your pen, or you have an extra pen. Yeah. So it works like this. There are two ways of dividing up Negoyim. One way is what I call the big four, and the other way is six, which means that we take these four, all right, and we divide two out of these four into two, and that's going to produce the number six. Again, I don't want to confuse, but it's a little bit like in Shabbos, Ovis and Toldos. You know, so there are four basic categories of Negoyim. So let's make a note of them. The first one is called Nigei Ar Basar. Okay, now this Nigei Ar Basar is very similar to the second category, so I'm going to write the second category and then differentiate between the two, which is called Nigei Shechin U'michveh. Now, what's the difference between these two? Both of them are what I would call dermatological. Now, again, I'm not getting into the whole issue. You know, Rav Shimon Soloferchik has in his book, Chorev, he has pages and pages to prove that what we're learning has nothing to do with dermatology. It's not pathology. You know, it's all metaphysics, you know. And the Ramban in Chumash also seems to go with that approach. But I'm not going to get into that, because that would require a whole long, very, very interesting discussion. I'll just tell you this, that the Rambam writes that you should not take coins and put them into your mouth, because you might contract tumus tzaraas. What does that tell you?
It's physical.
That it's physiological. Yeah, this is not metaphysical. So I'm just saying, this is a fundamental issue. He doesn't have anything on this here, but I know in the past. Okay, so these two, one and two, which are the first two categories, are both nigei ar, which means we're referring to the skin. Later on, I'm going to have nigei sear, okay, that they're on the hair in different places. So what's the basic difference between the first category and the second category? The first category is what I call natural. What do I mean by natural? Obviously, it's pathological, but natural in the sense that there was no maisa adam, there was no injury to the skin that would have caused this nega. But, you know, we have people suffer from different diseases. So this is one case. Now, the word here to describe this nega is called a kesem. And a kesem means something that's on top of the skin. Okay, then? And I emphasize this because this kind of, again, pathology is on top of the skin, as opposed to category number two, which is called nigei shechin u'michveh, and here the skin is exposed. Now, what does that mean, the skin is exposed? I don't know. You know, maybe we'll find out, but it can't be that it's exposed all the way down to the blood, because then he's going to lose all his blood. But let's say the top layer of his skin is exposed. And this, again, nigei shechin u'michveh, which are two types of injuries, are a result not of the natural passage of time with dermatological, pathological phenomena, but rather as a result of what's called a maka, right? So here the skin is exposed as a result of a maka, some sort of an injury. Okay, now, where are these negoyim located in the human body? And that's important to contrast these two with the next two. These are anywhere on the body, with the exception of the head and the beard. The top of the head and the beard, because that's going to give us other categories. And it's important that we know the categories in order to appreciate our mission. Okay. So I'm going to read to you the Rambam. The Rambam says that Nigei Ar Basar, that's our first caster, is Kesem Shenolad B'chol Makom Be'ar ha'adam lemait rosho ozkano, to the exception of his head or his beard. Okay, now Rabosai. In order to talk about tuma, we have to fulfill two conditions. One condition is color, and the other condition is size. Okay, now as far as color is concerned, we have different shades of white. And nigei ar basar which is again some sort of a, almost like a stain on your skin, is always going to be white. But the question is, how white is white? And the halacha has an entire sophisticated system of different colors of white. One color of white, which we'll get to in a minute, is so light colored that it's not even tummy at all. It's tar. We don't even begin to examine it. You know, right away the Kohen will say it's tar. What's the minimum amount of tseva lavan, right? Tseva lavan, the minimum, the lowest kind of tseva lavan, which requires investigation. That's called kikrum habetza. As I told you, there's a lot of new words here. Kikrum habetza. So if you've ever peeled an egg, you'll know that there's a little bit of a membrane, so to speak. Yeah. What do you call it? A covering around the egg. So that's called krum habetza. Okay, that's already getting a little bit more whitish than what we'll see. And then we get to the key word for all of nigei or basa, which means when it's really, really white, and that's called baheris. And that you'll see in the Bible itself. We'll open up the psukim.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there's a whiteness that's even less than krum habetza, and that's called bohak. So again, if you have an English translation, or if we get a Chumash with English, we'll be able to look it up. But bohak is not even, it's not even as white as krum habetza. So what you have is the following. Baharis is going to be the real McCoy Negoyim, Negayar. Bohak is zilch. It doesn't even register. And the real Ben Ashmashos, you know, the Twilight Zone is going to be Kikrum HaBeitza. Okay, then? Now, what's the minimum shear in terms of size? That's called Kigris, which is... It's sort of like, in my day at least, when I was a kid, they used to call it the size of an American dime. I don't know, every coin, every country has its own currency, but anyway. All right. Now, let's assume that what the Kohen sees is, number one, kikrum habetza, and that's in the questionable area. He hasn't yet seen baheres. That might happen, that he might see 7 days down the line. But he's definitely seen a nega, or what we called in Hebrew a kesem, that's the size of a gris. So if one of two conditions are met, I'm using the wrong word here, but I'll explain what I mean. If it's either bohak, which is not white enough, or it's less than the size of a gris, then straight away it's tar. Just send them to the dermatologist. You know what I mean? But if, on the other hand, you've already reached the whiteness of kikrum habetza, and at the same time it has the shear, then, and this is the main subject of our Mishnah, he becomes what's called musgar. Now, I'm going to just translate the word muskar the way Rashi translates it. There are three other shittas that disagree with Rashi, but Rashi shita means he's locked up. And we're going to have a big controversy what that means. Is he locked up in his house? Is he locked up in a Beis HaKele? You know, some sort of a jail? Yeah. What is it all about? But anyway, he's called a muskar. We're going to soon see that also in Shechinu Mikvah there's also a muskar. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, now, what would take us over the, what should I say, over the hump, if you know what I mean, and we pass the red line, and the Kohen finally says, after 7 days of Hezger, right, for this Mitzorah Muzgar, he finally declares him Tameh. Okay, because there are three possibilities. Possibilities number one is he's going to declare him Tahar at the end of this Hezger. Mm-hmm. That's called a Tahar Mitoch Hezger. Number two, he might declare him absolutely Tameh. And then he has the same din as what's called the Mukhlad. We'll get back to that.
Because it's Baharis, and that's why he's going
to... Oh, we'll get to that in just a second. Give me 1 minute.
Okay,
and then we have the middle case where you're going to require another 7 days of Hezger. Okay. Now, what will determine which of these three is going to happen at the end of the 7 day period of Hezger. That's what's called, and this opens up a whole new topic in the Gaon, that's called Simone Tumah. Okay, now in each one of these four cases they're going to be Simone Tumah. Now the reason why we're not ready to divide it into six cases is because within each one of these two cases we may, I mean, don't hold me to this because it's iffy, but we may have the possibility of tziruf. What I mean by tziruf is that, let's say, for example, I told you that the shear of tuma is kigris. What happens if he has shchin, which is a half a gris, and michva, which is a half a gris? It could be possible that we're going to lump them together, and then there's tziruf, which means that we can integrate a half a shear of each one of these two. We can never integrate a half a shear by crossing lines here. You follow boundary lines. We need a shear in each one of these four categories. But it could be that within these categories, as opposed to the next two categories, which takes us from four to six, you could be mitzarif the shear from, let's say, a shchin and a michva. To give you one example. Okay. Now, what are the simone tumah? Now, in most of these four cases, the simone tumah are pretty similar. They're almost identical. However, in the case of Nigei or Basar, and we'll see it again later in the fourth category, which we didn't even get to yet. In the case of Nigei or Basar, there's a unique Simon Tumah. So let's go through the classical Simon Tumah, and then we'll get the unique one that applies to Nigei or Basar. The classical Simon Tumah are, number one, Shtei Saros Levanos, two white hairs, and these two white hairs are inside the nega. So again, we said the nega was like a kesem, right? This white stain on his skin. In the middle of this white stain on the skin, the Kohen finds, after 7 days, two white hairs. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we're not even covering the tip of the iceberg of Taurus, because on this itself, we could probably Sidzai Nikiv, so much complicated. So that's Simon Tara number one, okay. And Simon Tara number two, which is also pretty classic, is called Pishyon. You remember the pasuk in Pasa Nega, we'll open up the Chumash. And Pasa Nega means it spreads. So when the Kohen looked at it at the beginning of the Zion Yemei Hezger, he saw it as a gris. Now all of a sudden it's spreading. Okay. Now the question is as follows: what is the unique simon tumah of nigei basar? And then I'll be yours. And that's called michya. Okay, what's michya? Michya miloshen chius, live. That although the skin of this nega is dead skin, but somewhere in the middle of the nega is live skin, healthy skin. So you've got two Saros Levanos and healthy skin. Now, do you need all three Simone Tumah? So the answer is the following. Let's assume that in order to declare him Tameh on the spot after the 70, we need all these three Simone Tumah. If we have one of the three, we might want to go for a second round of Zion Yimei Hezger. And if we have none of the three, then we're going to be Matar. Again, I'm oversimplifying something that's very complicated. Eric, are you with me so far?
Yes.
Alright.
So you'd be tired if he has, if there's no change from the first check.
If there's no change, right.
And he doesn't have two hairs, it didn't spread, and there's no healthy flesh in the middle of it, and it didn't change at all, then you declare him,
or
you wait another 7 days.
So as I said to you before, I warned you, and I was oversimplifying it, hoping that you wouldn't ask me too many questions. I'm just kidding. But no, don't get me wrong, Eric. It's just that I'm sweating this out, you know.
That's fine. Last night was more than I know.
I didn't get that much learning done last night. I mean, Usher might be able to testify to that because my wife said it's the last day of Hanukkah for us. We have to go anyway. So we did what we did. So it works like this. Okay. Adam Bolakoyan. Ubo negatzaras. Stop me if I go too fast. V'ra'a kohen sheyesh benega echad misimonei tumah metamaso miyad. Okay?
So this is the first time he comes. If one of those three is there
on the first round,
first time he's there, one of those three, there are two pairs, it's a patch and it's got a healthy skin in the middle, or
it spreads. Spreading actually is not. That's only relevant in a case of a musga.
But
let's say he has shtei sa'aros levanos, it has the shear, it's already very, very dark white, which is called baharis.
But if it's two white hairs and it's kikurim habeitza, then.
Then we'll get into hezger.
Okay, that would be hezger. Okay.
So he says the following. Okay, so I'll go over it one more time. Adam shebola kohen ubo nega tzaras v'ra'a kohen sheish b'nega echad b'nega echad misimone hatuma shebo. Okay. Again, yet pishyon is not relevant. So it means either, let's say in the case of nigya, or you have either shtei saras levanos in the middle, or you have live skin in the middle.
But it has to be cleared up. It has to be the Harris. It can't be a questionable.
I'm pretty sure. I didn't get to that yet, but I'm almost positive. So again, with limited liability, I think it has to be by Harris. And therefore, what's the din in this case? Metamo miyad. Okay, as one of these two simonim, the coin declares him tamei, and he's called a mukhlat. Meaning that there's no hezger. We're not going to wait 7 days. The Mishnah is going to go ahead and tell us that even a mitzora muzgar is also a mitzora, and the Mishnah is going to try to tell us, well, what's the difference between the two? That's where the ein bein comes in. But right now, let's assume that we only have differences in name only, meaning whether or not you declare him as a muzgar or a mukhlad, he's tame, he's a mitzora. Okay? Now, in Ra'a Kohen Sheshir Hanega, who pachos mi levanuso, okay, let's say that A, there are two scenarios here. A, it doesn't even, the levanuso, meaning the whiteness of this nega, it doesn't even reach the level of Kruma Beitza. That's one automatic tahara that we send them home. Or alternatively, if it's less than a gris, then we'll send them home. Metaro miyad. Now we're up to muzgar. So under what circumstances is it muzgar? Ra'a kohen sheshir hanega hu kigris, o yoser, livninuso, is kikrum ha-beitza, ach ein bo echad misimone atuma. He doesn't have neither shtei saris levonos, nor does he have michya. Masgiro akohen shivas yomim. Again, we're going to have four sheetahs, exactly what hezger means. Let's go with Rashi, that we lock him up in a room. V'hu anikra mitzora muzgar. And he's called a muzgar. Liachar shivas yomim. What happens when 7 days passed? Im nolad bo. Right, im nolad bo echad misimone hatuma. Okay, if he has any one of these simone tuma, and now again we're going to introduce pishyon here. So it's either A, B, or C. He's got the shtei levanos all of a sudden popped up, the michya appeared, or it spreads. Yachlitenu hakoin lituma, and he becomes a mitzora mukhlat. All we need is one of the simone tuma at the end of the 7 days. Vim yira hakoin shenismayit hanega mishira gris oshalavein luso hanega pchuso mikruma beitza yitareno hakoin miyad. Notice, let's say that on day one, the first day the kohen saw the nega, it had the shear of kigris. Now 7 days later, it doesn't have the shear of kigris. Let's say on day one it was kikruma beitza. Now it goes down to boak, meaning it's not even dark enough to be considered kikruma beitza. Then the kohen sends him home. But that's called Tahar Mitoch Hezger. So there's something called Mukhlat, and then there's something called Muzgar, and then there's something called Tahar Mitoch Hezger. Okay, and that has its own dinim.
It's Mitoch or Mishum? Before you said Mishum.
Oh, I don't know. Let me see it again. Sorry. Buenikri Tahar Mitoch Hezger, I meant to say. Okay? So that's a case where one of two things happened. Either the shear of kegris went down, was diminished, or the whiteness was diminished, and it's no longer kruma beitza, then he becomes what's called tar mitoch hezger. Oh. However, let's say the kohen comes at the end of 7 days, he didn't find any of the simoni tuma, but he finds status quo. I think that's what you were asking before, Eric, right? Im amad hanega bi'eno v'lo nolad ba af echad misimani tuma, but it didn't go down, yaskirenu hakoin shivas yomim shenis. There's a second round of 7 days. V'din ha-hezger ha-sheni k'din ha-hezger ha-rishon, Elo Hashem li achra hezger hasheni oman hanega bi'enu v'lo nolad baf af echad mismane tuma mitaro hakoin v'hu tar mitoch hezger. So if at the end of the second round of 7 days it still remains status quo, he becomes tar mitoch hezger. Again, I'm not saying we're experts in the garden, but at least we've learned a heck of a lot. At least I can say about myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay,
fine.
Because otherwise, if we don't get this down, we won't begin to understand the Mishnah.
Right.
Okay. Now, the second category of Negoim, which are very similar, is called Shchinu Michva. And again, as we said before, that's a matter of injuries. Now, what's the difference between Shchin and Michva? Okay. Michva is a result of a fire injury. So the skin is actually peeled off because Nebuch of a fire. I don't know if it's a first degree, third degree, whatever degree.
At least a second.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I'm hoping he'll give fit in some of the physiology.
Well, okay. They don't have this. This actually, our school doesn't seem to go into a lot of the discussion of the definitions and.
Oh, I see. All right, we'll see. You know what I. If I can get up, maybe back in the Amic Learning Center, I'll be able to get a hold of it, borrow someone's article. I'll see if he adds anything. All right, next. Now we get to what's called. I'm sorry. What did we talk about until now? We talked about Michva, right? So now let's get to Shechin. What is Shechin?
I'm saying, what was Michva?
Michva was a fire injury.
Oh, Michva, okay.
Fire injury.
But how does it define, like, what are we looking for? Fire injury.
What's the word for a fire injury? There's a word in English. In Hebrew it's called Michva. A burn. Okay. Excellent. A burn. So if the burn is a result of fire, that's called Michva.
But it has, is it just any burn? Now you have to go and you're confined just because you're burned, or is there something that shows up in the burn?
Yeah, well, as a result of the burn, the skin has been removed. It's got the shear of kigris. Let me just fill in what shchin is. And shchin is laka b'eitz o b'evan. He had a different kind of an injury, okay? Or maybe he had some sort of illness. That's called shchin. And okay, and let me just see if he is anything. Wow. Oh, this is really complicated. He says in the footnote here, also based on Tiferes Yisrael, that in order for Shechino Machva to constitute a nega, it's got to be in the middle between two polar extreme states. It's what's called Hischil Lehistrapos. What does that mean, Hischil Lehistrapos? That as a result of this exposed skin, this burn, let's say, or this injury, a certain scab right? He calls it a klipa, which is very thin, has covered the skin. So he doesn't really have a skin, he's got some sort of a scab on top. He calls it again a klipa. Mm-hmm. I would need more pictures for this, but he says, now what happens is, on top of this skin, of this scab, he has something called Baharis. You remember, Baharis was a very dark white, a very striking white. Mm-hmm. And that, these are the conditions that make it into a nega. Number one, it's already begun the process of healing, so therefore there's a scab covering the exposed skin. And number two, it's Baharis. It's turned a white color. Yeah, I've never actually seen this, but well, we can probably get pictures for this. He says, now the other two extremes. Aval ima shchino ha-michva adayin makos trios, and those are fresh wounds, and there's no scab at all, then that's just a, that's a, that's a, that's a physiological, shall I say, a problem, you know. But Abraham tumis negoyim klal. That's not called tumis negoyim.
So if it doesn't scab over, in other words, if it's not healing and it's just an open wound,
then it's not tummy at all.
Okay.
Now we go to the other extreme. V'im kvar nisrapu legamre hashrin o hamichva v'nishar b'mekomo tzalekes. Now he has a scar, and then he gets a baharis, a white color on top of the scar. Ein ze nega shchin. So in other words, there's a possibility of starting at the state of Shechin u'michva and then going backwards to Nigei or Habosar.
It sounds like really it's saying that once it's healed, even though it's left a scar, it's not in the category of Shechin u'michva. The scar is treated as normal skin, and so you go back to being or
right. Well, now if it gets this whiteness, this Baharis on top of it, then if it's the right color white, plus right, it's got enough of a shear, so
even though
then it might become a nega.
Right. Even though it's an area that was a wound, once it's healed to the point where it's a scar, and it's basically, then it's treated as if it's a regular skin and is no longer going into that category.
Right. Okay. Right. So an open wound is not tame. Now, what are the simone tuma, which again the Kohen is going to look for after the hezger, or if, what do we say before, that if he has one of these,
he's automatically
So that's Shtei Saras Levonos, as I said before, that's pretty classic, and Pishyon, again Pishyon would only be relevant if he's Musgar, but we don't have this Michya, here in these cases of Shkinu Michva, there's no live skin in the middle, healthy skin in the middle. Okay, now we get to, just tell me how we're doing on the clock. Oh, we're not doing too good. All right, so B'li Neder, what we want to do is tomorrow, again, we have to continue a little bit more in an introduction. We'll be able to start the Mishnah B'li Neder tomorrow, and we'll talk about two other categories of Negayim, and then we'll see why we generate six. Okay? So
I think this is great. I mean, I'm learning, you know, this. You, this I know this is difficult for you, but we're, you know, this is a lot more than I knew before, so.